day. So are you guys the observers and not the speakers? You're what? An hour early. Oh, for the next one. I understand it's Saturday afternoon, isn't it? Okay, well, let me introduce myself. My name is Nancy Kimes, and I don't have an... Oh, I can stand right here now. I have my back to anyone. My husband is the pulpit minister at Crosstown Church of Christ in Tulsa. I've been a minister's wife for 38 years and have been in Tulsa for 13. And so what I'd like to do is just pass this microphone around and let you tell your name, where you're from, the size of your congregation. Our congregation's about 500 members, and how long you've been there.
I'm Carolyn Bartlett, and I'm from North Carolina, and actually, I'm not a minister's wife. I'm an elder's wife, and I came to take notes for our minister's wife, who's been there 10 years, and our church size is about 250.
I'm Nancy Jett, and my husband and I did local ministry for 22, 23 years, and now for the last 6 years, he's been the leader of a Christian disaster relief organization. So, but we, in traveling to different churches, I talked to a lot of ministers' wives, so I was interested in what you have to say today that I might encourage them.
So sorry, there's a speaker behind us. What happened?
Oh, I can't do that. My name is Cindy Clark, and I'm from Bismarck, North Dakota. My husband's been in ministry for about 18 years. We've been in Bismarck for about a year and a half. And the congregation is about 60 to 65 people.
I'm Kelly Blankenship. We are in Sallis, Oklahoma. Been there about 6 months. And our congregation right now is about 35 members.
I'm Diana Teal. I've been in Hendersonville, North Carolina for almost 2 years. And the congregation runs about 250.
I'm Amity Keel. My husband is the minister for the Central Church of Christ in Haskell, Oklahoma, just about 30 miles south of here. And we have been there since November. We moved here from Fort Worth. He actually came back into the ministry after working in the secular work for 20 years. He graduated from Fried Hardeman in the 80s and only preached for a couple of years. And now he's back. He felt led back into the ministry after we became married in 06. So. Oh, and sorry, our congregation size is about 100.
Hi, I'm Jessica from Deer Park, Texas. My husband's a youth minister there, and we have been there together for about 5.5 years. And he was there before me for almost a year. And our congregation size is about 200.
I'm Amy. Whoa, that's loud. I'm Amy Hayes from here in Tulsa. My husband is the minister at the 29th and Yale congregation. And we've been there about 2 years, and we have around 200 members.
I'm Christy McCall from Lima, Ohio, and our husbands went to Sunset together, but I was married to somebody else at the time. But our congregation is about 40 people.
So I'm doing this, right? Okay, I'm Dawn Kilcullen from Clarksville, Tennessee. Size of our congregation, I guess about 400. And we've been there 2 years, but we were in Abilene for 8 years, and we were in Clarksville for 6 years before that. So, and he's a youth and family minister.
I'm Frieda Hammondtree, and we're now in Henderson, Kentucky. We've been there for about 2 years. We've done work before that with a larger congregation in Chicago. And then we were in Boise, Idaho before that.
I'm Becky Harris. I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana. You've probably been there on your way somewhere else. My husband preaches for the Southside Church of Christ in Terre Haute. He's been preaching in the area for about 18 years, but at Southside for 8 years. And the church is about 120 members.
I'm Lisa Farmer, and my husband's a minister at Henrietta Church of Christ. Our congregation is about 200. We've been in the ministry for about 30 years, and we've been in Henrietta for the last 3 months.
Texas.
Yeah, Henrietta, Texas, not Oklahoma.
I'm Lori Squires. I'm her daughter. My husband has been the youth minister at Franklin Church of Christ in Franklin, Texas, since August, but we have been there for 3 years working with the youth, and took over in August. So, and it's about 200.
Hi, I'm Sarah Williams, and my husband preaches at the Aurora Church of Christ in Aurora, Missouri. We've been there 6 years, and congregation's about 200.
I'm Lee Master. We've been in Monette, Missouri 6 years or so, with about 90 members there. You want to talk?
I'm Kathy Middleton from Northside Church of Christ in Wichita. I'm not a pastor's wife, I'm an elder's wife, and sometimes those roles are about the same, so I came to learn. Our congregation is about 750, and I've been an elder's wife for 9 years.
I'm Jennifer Hill, and my husband and I worked in Japan and the UK for 11 years, and moved back to Skytook, Oklahoma, 3 years ago, and my husband's the youth and family minister, but as of next Monday, he'll be the pulpit minister and the youth minister. So I need this class. Double duty.
I'm Christy Coffin. I'm from Enid, Oklahoma. We've lived there about 10 years. Our congregation is about 50. And we just took over the job a month and a half ago. So I'm brand new. So I need this.
I'm Tiana Driplochak from Fridley, Minnesota, Fridley Church of Christ. And our congregation is about 50, and we've been there 4 years.
I'm Jessica Hayes, and we're from Locust Grove, Oklahoma. My husband's kind of on a sabbatical right now. He previously preached full-time for 3.5 years and part-time for about 5, so I think we're about 30.
I'm Cammy Bibby, and my husband and I are in Woodbury, Minnesota, and he's been the preacher there for 13 years, and our church is about 275.
Hi, I'm Bernie Malden. I'm from Hammond, Louisiana. We just moved there from Texas about, a little over, actually, we've been there about 8 months, but we moved from Texas a little over a year ago, and we're in a mission area right now. Our church has had some problems, and so we're starting over. We have about 75 right now, but we're excited. After 25 years in the ministry, we're in a mission area, so we're going to need a lot of prayers, but God's going to do great things.
I'm Joan Carlisle, and the last place my husband preached was Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Now we're in Roanoke, Texas, and he's an elder there, and we have about 60.
Hi, I'm Zoe Lambrecht. I'm from Tampa, Florida. My husband is an elder as well as a pulpit minister. He has been with this church 13 years, and we've got about 550.
Hello, my name is Andrea Henson, and my husband is the all-purpose minister. He does everything at a church in Yellville, Arkansas. We've got about 100 people, and we've been there for 2 years now.
Okay, did I miss anyone else? Because we had people coming in. And okay, that's good. Okay, well, we have, I think, a lot of things in common, and that's the purpose for this format. And so what I'm going to do, this is my day to be a talk show host. So when you want to speak, just raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you so everybody can hear you. And we're going to talk about these questions. The question number 2 is really the first discussion question. Share the one thing that has encouraged you about ministry over the last decade. Over the last 10 years, what has been the one thing that's most encouraged you?
I'll start us off. We moved, as I say, to Tampa about 13 years ago from a church in the Chicago area as well. We were in Naperville. I think you said you were from Chicago. But the thing that was really encouraging to us, we have a very active campus ministry, and we have seen just a wonderful amount of involvement with that age. We have a large group that is very evangelistic and very willing to share their faith and very responsive to people who are welcoming to them. And we had kind of an adopt a college student thing that got the whole congregation involved, and they have just been their evangelism has been very contagious for our body, and as a result we have a very diverse population in terms of culture and age, and I guess I would just say that's probably been the most exciting thing that we've experienced in the last 10 years.
I think there's a couple of things that have really stuck out for me, and one of them is the outward outreach. You know, for so long, I think the church was more focused inward. You know, we had our church dinners and all of the functions that you know, to help build relationships and encourage each other as a Christian family. But now I see a lot of churches reaching out, and we're going out into the community and doing some great things, and I think that's really encouraging. Another thing, guys, and it's, you know, I was raised in a very conservative, traditional church all of my young life, and then now I love what I see happening in our churches. I personally love the excitement, the joy, I love the expression, and I think that's a good thing. I have a 23-year-old son, and he is in law school now, and he said, "Mom, you know, the Church of Christ so many times is so boring." And I like what Jeff Walling said yesterday, I guess, when he said, you know, the church for our children is not the church that we knew, and we have to be open to change.
One thing that is really encouraging to me is seeing lives changed, and it's the one job that you work full-time to change lives, and everything you do is affecting people's lives for the better. And it can also be one of the discouraging things. That's the next question, but you know, you open yourself up to a lot of heartbreak, but when you see those lives make a 180-degree turn, and you see what Jesus does for people, and you feel like you have, in your work, you have been a part of God's ministry to them, it's so encouraging. And you go through, when you're on those highs of seeing that, you're just like, there's no better place, there's no place I'd rather be than right where I am, changing lives for Christ, you know.
One of the most encouraging things for me, having been working with the youth, it seemed like starting out in our youth ministry that the youth ministry was one separate entity and the rest of the church was another. And they did their thing and they did their thing. And now it's really become a community, the whole church, because we've seen our elders and our older people get involved with the teenagers so much more lately, and they love it. And the teenagers have really flourished because they now have mentors who are the elders that they once looked at as the intimidating rule people, and now they see them as their close friends. And it's that's been encouraging in our congregation when we started our life group ministry with our teenagers, that we had elders and elders' wives who were excited to lead those groups. And now they have formed bonds with teenagers. They go play basketball with them. They do activities with them. And that's just been very, very encouraging to see that mix of community. Now, when the teenagers are gone from the congregation, there's something missing in the life of the church. And when some of our older people are gone from the congregation, the teenagers feel like there's something missing. And that's been really important for us, is to have that mix and to have those relationships form between the young and the old, and so that we can have a better understanding between the two and help bridge that gap as well.
Anyone else? Did you want to come up here and join? We've got an empty chair here if you want to. We just sort of rearranged the room, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay, anything else on question two?
Where I go to church, it's a very, very friendly church, and I grew up in a very strict church also, where it was very cold. And if you don't get hugged a dozen times when you visit our church, it's because you've said, "I'm not a hugger." And also we have a wonderful music ministry that we're a very small congregation, but when people come, they say, it sounds like 200 people.
The thing that keeps popping in my mind as far as encouragement is two or three of the older ladies in our congregation who just have taken us under their wing. And every time we see them, it's, we love you, getting the hugs, you know, telling my husband that was just the best sermon ever. I was really challenged. And, you know, they're just super encouraging for us.
That's a really good point. You know, that's very biblical, that we need to be close to those who are older than us. And, you know, there was a time when I was the youngest one in any room, any church gathering of married people, and that day is long past. So being able to mentor those who are younger and allowing some of our wonderful older women to do that for us as well is really a positive thing.
I think the most encouraging thing to me is how I've seen God work in the such small things that we have an opportunity to do. Sometimes we think of all these big plans and big things, but God seems to use the smallest thing that I can do and for people to come back and tell me how much they appreciate that. And even my husband, it's like we just get so amazed at how you can see people's lives transformed. And you know it's God doing it. You know that you had such a small part of that. And I'm not saying we should just sit back and do nothing, but it seems like we forget so often the small things are so important. And I think that's what has just increased my faith through the years, to see God active in some of the smallest gestures that I can do.
Anyone else? Okay. Share the one thing that has been disheartening. What's the one thing, let me put that another way. What's the one thing you've struggled with most about being in this ministry life?
The pressure of trying to keep people happy. That is the hardest struggle, because I think I was raised and the oldest in my family and an elder's daughter. And my dad became an elder when I was like 12 years old, and he emphasized a lot my example to others. And so when everybody likes me, it's really good. But when I mess up, you know, I don't mind apologizing or anything, but there comes time. I mean, the time will come when you have to decide what's more important, what people think of me or God. And it's always hard for me when I get there. But he has used that in me. And I finally, it took me years, but I finally made it to where he's the most important. But it's kind of a trap that Satan uses, I think, on us. Because, you know, your financial standing, everything is so, and there are people in the church that sometimes I think they forget that, and it's hard that, and sometimes I feel like I have to, it's almost political, and I hate that.
Don't we all?
Amen, sister. But anyway, well, you know, I'm younger than some here that have said they've grown up in traditional, very, I don't want to say traditional, but conservative. And there are times, especially in Tennessee, if you're from Tennessee, I'm sorry, but, you know, there are some struggles there with trying to move from that to the culture that we're wanting to reach today. And there were times I thought I was going to lose my mind, you know, that I was under this microscope, you know, and I think that was discouraging to me, is to put, you know, to have expectations of the minister's wives or the elder's wives, but that same thing was not expected of you. But I think it took me some time, and even my husband, to realize, okay, who are we to please, God or man? And I think if you try to do what pleases God, that is always going to be right. But, you know, and I think, and another disheartening thing, because we can go on all day about the negative stuff. I mean, we, and most of us know that we would have left ministry a long time ago, but God does work. Even when you go somewhere you don't want to go in ministry, He's going to use you. He would not have sent you there. You know, there are times I've fought. We're coming back to Tennessee. I didn't want to leave Abilene, but God wanted me in Tennessee. And 2 years later, I can see, even just in small things,
right,
His work. But another thing, I totally forgot, but I just think that love is most important, and it's not about all the rules. And I think we just got to remember more than anything, love is more important. So that's my two cents.
For me, the most disheartening thing is when my husband gets discouraged. When he's disagreeing, sorry, elders' wives, with some of the decisions that the elders make when it comes to rules and traditions and the way it's always been done versus what the Bible says. And that's, I mean, people, when you grow up a certain way, it almost feels like this is truth, you know what I mean? And so when you see your husband get discouraged and know that because you are the minister's wife, you can't go and talk to the people you would like to say, look, you are hurting the preacher, the man, not just the man that gets up there and says a sermon. You are hurting the man in the spirit, you know, behind the preacher. So, because you can't say that. You have to be, you know, in the right place at the right time and keep your mouth shut. Because I've already been told, no, you can't say anything. You know what I mean? It's just hard to not protect your husband at times when you feel like you should.
You want to stand over here?
I don't want to stand, no. The most discouraging thing to me is exactly the opposite of what I've heard some of you say. We're from a small congregation. My husband does it all. He's a youth minister. He's the pulpit minister. He's the visitor. He's everything. And it's very hard, especially with the youth group, to get any other adults involved, let alone in anything else. They don't encourage their kids to come to the youth events. If there's a school project or a ball game or whatever, that's always more important. And it's very discouraging to plan something and have nobody show up, which has happened the last two youth meetings we've had. And so it's hard to want to keep doing it.
I might offer a suggestion. I don't know if it would work for you. We have a lot of sports kids in our church, too. But we do Sunday nights after our Sunday night service at our house. I feed them. They love the food, and they grow closer together. Well, that makes them come sometimes when you feed them. I don't know. But it's worked. We've done Song of Solomon with them, and it seems like we have good turnout, and they bring their friends. But we have a lot of sports kids, too. But we just try to get them any time to get them together. It makes them closer. But I think the most discouraging thing for me, my husband's not a discouraged person at all. I mean, so that's good for me because I'm the one that's usually the discouraged one. But it's how the church treats my children as far as their teenagers. And I don't know, somebody said, I mean, they look at them. We're very much in a glass house. And they expect more out of them than they expect out of their own children. And my daughter just said last night, I said, well, maybe someday you'll marry a minister too. And she said, I don't want to. And I'm like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, that it's been like that for you, because I want them to be strong in the faith because they love Christ and not worry about all the baggage that comes along with it.
Okay, to help you out too. I was a minister's daughter all my life, and I told my parents I will never marry a minister. My husband said I will never be a minister, and we're in the ministry, and we love it.
Okay, good.
So there's hope. I think I'm with you. The youth thing. I think the most discouraging for me is we live in a town where a very high poverty rate, but we have very high, we have gas too. I mean, so a lot of our members have gotten rich real quick, but we still have that poverty across the tracks kind of thing. And I think my thing is there's so many parents that don't want their kids involved with the kids across the tracks.
And so much so to the point where sometimes we have more kids that their parents aren't members coming to our events than we do whose parents are members. And then you have the elders saying, well, why aren't the members' kids involved? And why aren't, you throw up your hands and say, we're doing everything we can. You know, we're doing all this and we'll have 30, 40, 50 kids. But the 20 members' kids are not in the mix. And that's disheartening.
That is disheartening, but it's also a great opportunity because you're reaching out. And the congregation that they're at, we used to be there, so that was a real hard thing for us because our daughter and son-in-law were the youth ministers where we were ministers, and they didn't like what was going on, so we got the boot, and they're still there. So I had to leave my grandkids. So that was really hard, but in all of that, we drug our feet. We did not want to leave. We were trying to put roots down, and we decided, God doesn't want us to put our roots down. We're in the ministry for a reason, and he moved us, and it's been one of the best things that's ever happened to us, even though we thought it was negative.
I can tell you what I've learned in 38 years of being a minister's wife. God does want us to have roots. However, they're in a flower pot, so. Okay, I'm going to skip to question 6 because I think after question 3, we need to have question 6 next. And that says, how have you managed to keep from giving up? We have common things. When you were talking about what you struggle with, you saw all the heads doing this, you know. And sometimes if you're the one and you're in a smaller congregation, you feel like I'm the only one that, I'm so isolated and so alone. And you're right. You really sometimes can't talk to people because you're supposed to be the encourager and you don't want to discourage other people by telling them your burden. And it is a very isolated thing sometimes. But I think what we're seeing from this is that we really struggle with a lot of the same issues. So how have you managed? What's kept you going?
It is going to sound like a platitude, but it is the truth, and it's just staying plugged into Jesus Christ. Your progress is in the ministry isn't always something you can measure, so you can't base your success on being able to see this measurable progress you've made. You have to completely rest in Jesus and his direction and what he's doing with you and with your ministry. And I lost my train of thought because I get nervous. But I can't remember what I was going to say. But anyway, it really is about Jesus. And you can't look around you. You can't. Being in the ministry isn't about you and about what you've done and what you haven't done. So many times it seems like that's what it is, but it completely has to be about your relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's doing and what he's doing through you. And that's what I was going to say. So many times my husband and I have seriously been like, okay, we're leaving. It's time to go. We can't do this anymore. We can't even be in the ministry anymore. Not even just a different church, but just a different career. And when we've gotten on our knees before God, it's like he said, no, it's not time for you to leave yet. And seriously, sometimes that's the only thing that has kept us in the ministry is that God has said, that's where I want you. And that's what I'm doing something through you, whether you can feel it or not, whether you can measure it or not. I'm working through you, and I'm not done with you yet.
I think someone mentioned this before about who you're doing it for, man or for God. And I think the whole time we lived overseas, we were learning a lesson about sometimes you get in the routine of doing things. And especially for me, I felt like sometimes I had to participate in things because I was the minister's wife, and I felt burdened sometimes, and I was losing my joy of worship, my joy in my salvation. because it was a duty because of the position that we were in. And then when we moved back to the States, I was really worried about that because I think it's you're more in the limelight in the States, in the churches. But my husband and I have to just constantly remind ourselves that we're doing it for God's pleasure and for Him to smile upon us and not for man. And that's a really hard lesson to learn. And we like to go the extra mile. I don't say no easily. I like to go the extra mile for people, but sometimes you just have to remember the priority of who you're doing it for and keep that focus, which isn't easy all the time. I'm learning.
I think for me, some of the kids I was talking about, the Across the Track kids, we have been the only joy, or not been the only joy, but shown them the only joy that they've ever seen had in their lives. And, you know, for them, when it hits them, what they have and what God has given them, to see that on their face, that's what keeps me going. To see them fall in love with God and to make that their life. And, you know, when you have kids who call you in the middle of the night because they don't have anybody else to turn to, you know you can't stop. You have to keep it up and going through everything with them leaving. I wanted to stop. Sorry. But I prayed and thought, you know, God put us here in this position at this point for a reason. And through the last year watching these kids and having one of the girls ask my husband, one day when I get married, will you walk me down the aisle because you're my dad? Stuff like that makes me keep going. And just God bringing joy to us through these children and bringing joy to these children through us.
I think most of us have wanted to quit from time to time. And for me, it's staying connected to God, definitely. But my prayer life is that lifeline for me. I've had to learn to renew my mind and be thankful for the ministry and to thank God that I'm able to work alongside my husband and to open my eyes to see the opportunities to serve and to ask God to help me to see my purpose in this and to keep it clear before me. And that prayer life has changed me. And it has. And Scripture, there's passages of Scripture that I don't think they would have ever come alive to me if I hadn't have been in the ministry. Like, it's God who watches our backs. I mean, you know, He protects us that way. And I think it has developed that relationship to where you're in partnership with your husband, but you almost feel you see the purpose in being in partnership with God. And that's what has given me that joy to keep going with that.
I know we're running out of time. And one thing you need to realize is all that you're saying is we need prayer to be connected with Jesus, but it is so important that you have a support group. And we felt very loved when we were in Abilene. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to Abilene. It's the most wonderful little town. I'm so glad that God sent us there and blessed us. It was real ugly at first, but God showed me beauty in the big sky and the wonderful people there. But we had a support group. And another thing, and I know a lot of you are on limited budgets at your church, find a way to come like places like this, NCYM if you're a youth and family minister. Go places and get your cups filled. You've got to have somebody you can go to and talk to who's in the ministry. You've got to have that, because if you don't, you think you're all alone. And in that you just feel bad for feeling the way you feel sometimes about just leaving or or whatever. And like she was saying, we've all wanted to leave at some time or another or do a career change, but then you think, what else would I do? Because you love it, but you can hate it too at the same time. But the support group, having that support, you know.
Terry gave me very strict instructions about being finished at 20 minutes till, so because there is going to be another class here. But let me kind of say amen to what she just said about a support group. That's very, very important. I have a friend that I used to work with who said that he could not understand the way women could connect with each other. It was a mystery to him. And he gave me an example. He'd been to Baskin-Robbins, and he and his brother-in-law, and they went in and they ordered their ice cream and they sat down at a table and they ate their ice cream and not a word passed between them. But what he observed while he was eating his ice cream in silence was that there were two women that stood in line and they did not know each other when they came in. But while they were waiting in line, they got acquainted. And he said, before they left Baskin-Robbins, they had exchanged business cards. And I'm not sure, but I thought they might have been planning a vacation together. And so women can connect. You know that if you've lived very long at all. Women have this unique gift to connect with. There's what I jokingly call the sisterhood. And there is a sisterhood in our fellowship, but there is a sisterhood of women too. So if you don't have someone that you can connect with, I'm going to give you my email address, okay? And if you have that discouraging day, you email me. And I promise I'll email you back. My email address is CNKYM, like Mike, ES, CNKYMES, at V, like Victor, ALORNET, all one word, .com. Make sure you do have someone that you can connect with. What? CNKYMES. At V, like Victor, ALORNET.com. I am so glad you came today. My husband did the minister's one this morning, and counting him, they had six. And he said he was going to challenge me to beat him. Ha ha. Thank you so much for being here.